Welcome into the Air Raid Sports Podcast. I'm Chandler Carney. With me, as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
Happy Halloween, man. How you doing?
Good. I gotta say, this is not one of my favorite holidays.
Mine either. I've never been trick or treating a day of my life.
I've been trick or treating. That's good times, especially when you're young. You just get all the candy.
All right, so if you go trick-or-treating, you know, since you've been before.
Yeah.
Has anyone, like, ever given you, like, fruit? Or, like, what's the weirdest thing someone's given you in your trick-or-treat basket?
I honestly can't remember getting anything but candy, but I imagine somebody gave me something weird one time, and I never went back to their house and probably egged them. When I got older, I rolled their yard for
it. Taylor told me that she got toothpaste in her basket one year, and her mom said, "Don't use it because it might be poisonous."
That person deserves to be rolled.
I was like, "He's probably a dentist," and she was like, "He was." I was like, "Then why were you so surprised?"
Well, that's fair. But dentists get a free pass on that.
Yeah, or, you know, a dental hygienist, because I mean, they just got toothpaste coming out of the wazoo.
Yeah, they get it for free.
My my stepdad used to work at the Ole Miss dentist school or whatever at the medical center, and he would just have boxes of toothpaste. Like, I don't think they ever bought toothpaste the whole time he worked there.
Free toothpaste.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like the Sensodyne stuff. That's like, you know, four out of five dentists recommend, but not the fifth one.
Yeah.
What does the fifth dentist recommend? You think?
Crest.
That's what I use.
3D white.
You think anyone recommends like Colgate or anything?
I don't know. That's what I use.
I mean, Colgate and Crest are the same thing. I mean, it's Procter and Gamble.
I don't know. It's all toothpaste. It really don't matter to me.
So what is the worst thing you could get in your trick or treat basket?
A pencil. A plug. Probably an apple.
An apple?
Not a candied apple.
All right, so our good buddy Yogi Roth, friend of the show, he was talking on his show the other day on Pac-12 Network that, would it be bad if someone gave someone an apple? He's like, because it's still sweet, but who determined what a sweet was? And I was like, you know, if I went trick-or-treat and someone gave me an apple, I'd probably enjoy it. But that's me as a 20-year-old, not me as a 10-year-old.
Yeah, what 10-year-old wants an apple?
I think the worst thing you could get is like raisins, because that's not even a fruit, and then people are like, "Well, it's nature's candy." Well,
that's bad too.
It tastes like shit.
Yeah, you got wrong in that assessment.
All right, so let's congratulate the Washington Nationals on winning the World Series. Let's give a hand for them. Are you happy about that?
Not one bit.
Do you think they deserved it?
I think they played the best, but I mean, I hate the Nationals. As a Braves fan, I can't root for them. There's only two people on that team I respect.
Which is?
Lindon and Zimmerman.
Do you don't respect Strasburg?
No, I'm not a big Strasburg fan.
I'm not a fan of Strasburg, but I was happy for him, you know, winning MVP and everything, because... Just whatever. All the shit that they put him through in his 10-year career.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you think that winning the World Series and the MVP will make Strasburg want to sign with the Nationals, or you think they're not going to be able to pay him?
I don't know what their funds are looking like right now, because I think they have to pay Rendon as well. And if you're giving me a choice to sign Strasburg or Rendon, and I have to choose one, I'm signing Rendon, no question.
Yeah, and then Strasburg will just sign with the Astros or the Yankees.
Probably the Yankees.
Yeah. The Dodgers may go after him.
Yeah, the Yankees and the Dodgers, they're always willing to shell out money but never win the World Series, so might as well go join them.
Do you think that Gerrit Cole was actually ever going to come in the game, or do you think that he was just warming up just to screw with the minds of the Nationals?
I believe he was coming in the game.
So why pull Greinke And if you're going to pull Greinke, why not put him in?
The thought process for A.J. Hinch was, we're not bringing Cole in to a with any traffic on the bases. We're not going to bring him in with anybody on the bases because he's only made one relief appearance in his life, and that was back in college at UCLA. So I understand the move. Bring in what you would say is your best reliever, get two outs, and then give Cole the eighth. That was the plan. It just didn't go as planned.
Would you have pulled Greinke? Because, I mean, it wasn't like he was dying out there. Like, he did give up the home run, but...
No, but, I mean, you could see at the end of the sixth, and then after the home run, and then he walks the next guy, the stuff had left, and he had given you all that you could hope for or ever want from him. If you tell A.J. Hinch, Zach Greinke's going to give you six and a third, and only give up one run, he's going to take that all day. I mean, I think he pushed all the right buttons. The Nationals just got the big hits when the Astros could not. And that's all it was.
Well, do you think that the Braves have a chance to win the World Series next year?
No, not unless they make some major changes to the pitching staff.
Yeah.
You got to go find some sharp pitching.
Yeah, they definitely need to beef up their bullpen.
Runs are great. They win you a ton of games during the regular season. But when you get to October, you better have a staff. And you look who's playing in the World Series, two of the three best staffs in the postseason. The third or second was probably the Dodgers and the Nationals beat them. So, I mean, you had the two best rotations that were left facing off in the World Series.
Well, that's good stuff, man. You always know how to break down the mound game for us.
I try and do my best.
So, moving into college football.
Hold on. Let me take you back to Halloween for a second. I just thought of something.
All right.
So, I'm standing there waiting to go into my class to take my test today. And there's this dude in our class walks in. And you know how people in Mexico celebrate the Day of the Dead or whatever, and how they dress up and paint their face or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so a dude comes in, he's got a big beard and all, and with his face painted like that, but instead of wearing what the male would wear, he had on a dress the female would wear. And it took all that was in me not to just die out laughing at him. Because he walked in, if I looked up, and I just looked down, I couldn't help it. Because if I looked at him, I was just going to start laughing.
You didn't dress up today for Halloween?
I wore my Ole Miss hoodie, so I dressed up as depressing, depressed fan.
You dressed up as a clown? Is that what you do?
Yes, I went as disappointment.
Oh, that's pretty much every day, though, isn't it?
Pretty much.
All right.
Back too much.
No, you can't. Not ever. Shifting gears to college football, though. Let's talk about what happened last weekend with Kansas State upsetting your Oklahoma Sooners.
Devastating.
What?
The defense showed up. The defense we all know and love showed back up this week. They came out of hibernation.
But didn't Motley, didn't he get like thrown out of the game for throwing a punch?
I don't even know.
That poor bastard can't catch a break.
They were so bad. They couldn't stop a runny nose.
Well, I mean, I remember talking to you about it. You know, I really thought Kansas State would cover and, like, give them a run for the money and Oklahoma would win by 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I text you, I was like, dude, I was not expecting this. Like, they legitimately couldn't play. And I think they're at the end with the onside kick. I think that's just bullshit for them to overturn.
I mean, there's not enough evidence to overturn that with the call on the field.
No.
Do I think it's the right call? Yes. Do I think you have enough evidence? No. So, there you go on that.
So what's Oklahoma have to do now? In your mind, what do they have to do now to go to the playoff?
Well, they have to hope that Baylor doesn't give up a miracle right here to West Virginia, and that they hold on and win this game and remain undefeated until they travel to Norman in a couple of weeks. And then Oklahoma needs to beat them. I think they need Baylor to play an awesome game in Norman to prove that Baylor's for real and beat them by like 7 or something. And then Baylor wins out as a proven team. And then Oklahoma has to go into the Big 12 championship game and probably beat them by 35. And that's probably their best scenario of getting in, along with the SEC teams other than the champion having 2 losses.
Yeah.
Or potentially a Clemson upset.
Yeah, I think that they have to become the biggest Baylor fans on earth, and they have to beat Baylor twice. Which Baylor actually hosts Oklahoma, in a couple weeks, so they get them at home. So that'll be a good test for Oklahoma because it's on the road. Now,
here's a question for you: if Baylor's undefeated Big 12 champion, do they get in?
Do they get in or should they get in?
Do they get in?
No, they don't get in.
I don't think so either. I think they put a 1-loss LSU or Georgia in ahead of them.
I don't think Georgia deserves to be in it. I don't think Georgia deserves to be ranked in the top 10.
Me neither. But, I mean, it's Georgia, so they're going to be there. It's all about the brands right now. We'll know who's where in the committee's eyes on November 5th.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm not taking rankings seriously.
Well, I mean, I'll take your rankings seriously.
I mean, you can take mine seriously because they're mine, and whatever I say doesn't really matter, but it's just my opinion. So,
honestly,
it's still better than AP poll, which is a popularity contest.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, like, if Michigan were to win out with 2 losses, I think that they would put them in the playoff over Baylor.
Undefeated Baylor?
Yes, an undefeated Baylor.
I don't think they could do that. Would they? Maybe. I don't think they could do that, though. Not if they beat Oklahoma twice.
Yeah, I mean, Baylor hasn't blown anyone out. They've been winning, just like Minnesota. They've been just been winning ball games, which is all that matters.
Yeah.
But I think that's what the committee's going to look at is, okay, well, you're not blowing people out, so it doesn't matter, even if you are playing Power 5 teams.
And see, that's what was happening with Clemson earlier in the year, and you see now they're starting to pick it up and do what everybody expects them to do. So as long as they continue to do what they're supposed to do, they'll be there. But against inferior competition, you're supposed to blow them out, is what everybody thinks.
I think that you should win in a favorable fashion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to put up 70 like Ohio State's been doing, but, you know, if, say, for instance, Oklahoma is playing, what's a small school in that area? I don't even, Oklahoma Tech, is that even a school? Say they're playing Oklahoma Tech, and I mean you're going to need to win that game by 30.
Yeah, at least 30.
Iowa State's playing Northern Iowa, and they take them to overtime. Like, no, you kind of need to win that game by 21.
Yep.
3 scores is very comfortable.
You got to make some statements.
So, with all this talk, who is your top 6? Who's in your, if you had to rank them today, since the committee's coming out Tuesday, who's your top 6?
My far and away number one, where nobody's really close right now, is Ohio State. They are clear cut number one, better in all 3 phases than anybody else in the country today. At 2, I had a tough time because I don't really like or trust LSU's defense right now. I like the offense. I don't trust the defense that much. But with Tua being hurt, not knowing his status right now, I put LSU at 2, Bama at 3, Clemson at 4. I'm really not sure at 5 right now who I have. And Penn State is 6, barely above Oregon.
If Penn State's 6, then who are you going to put at 5? Would you put Oklahoma or Georgia or Florida?
I think I'm going to have Georgia there right now for this weekend. Or Penn State at 5, Georgia, Florida 6. And then Oregon.
Yeah, we're pretty similar in it. I actually have LSU at number 1. And that's only because I think Ohio State is the better team. I think they are the better team, the best team in the country. But LSU does have 3 top 10 wins, and you can't take that away from them. I know the Texas win doesn't look as good, but when they rolled into Austin, I mean, that was a top 10 team. And I'm not going to take that away from them. They have 3 top 10 wins. I have Ohio State at 2. And then I have Bama 3, Clemson 4. And then at 5 and 6, I have Penn State at 5. And I have Baylor at 6 because they are undefeated.
I just don't trust Baylor.
Well, I mean, we're going right now, and I think Baylor deserves respect. I think they're undefeated, and I think sitting at 7 is Minnesota. And the only reason that I have Baylor ahead of Minnesota is just because Minnesota did play at FCS school, and they only won by 1 score. I get that FCS school was South Dakota State, but still.
See, I still have 3 and 4 teams ranked above those 2 schools that I feel like if they met, they would beat them. I don't think either one of those could beat Florida, Georgia, Oregon, or Oklahoma. And I don't know if they could stay on the field with them. We'll find out in a few weeks with Baylor what they have, but I just don't, in my eyes right now, I don't see it.
We'll find out in a few weeks what Minnesota has.
We'll find out next weekend what Minnesota has, and then a couple weeks what Baylor has. And we'll find out if they are for real contenders or if they are true pretenders.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand that, but if someone wants to criticize me for this, I'm willing to stand by it.
Man, you got to be able to stand by your own statements. That's what I've always said. And when you come out on Twitter and say that Ohio State's the best team in the country and no one's close, that's what I mean when I say that Ohio State's the best team in the country. And if you want to argue, watch Ohio State play and then come talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree that they're the best team in the country, but I just mean at this point in time, I don't think that they have the stackable wins like LSU to be number 1.
I don't care about the wins. I care about what you've shown me on the field. And LSU on the defensive side of the ball has not shown me enough to date to put them above Ohio State right now, in my opinion.
All right, well,
that's why they play the full schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. That's fair. That's a fair statement.
It will all work itself out.
In your opinion, who's leading the Heisman race right now? Who you got in your Heisman race?
Right now I have Joe Burrow at 1, and then my next 3, but whatever order you want of the Ohio State trio. And the order I have it is J.K. Dobbins at 2, Chase Young at 3, and then Fields, and Jalen
are
tied at 4.
I got Joe Burrow at 1. I think he's leading the pack, rightfully so. But I have Justin Fields at 2. I think he doesn't turn the ball over. He's been playing really good football. You have to respect him as a runner as well.
And like they were saying on TV last week, Justin Fields gets hurt, their season's over. He is their quarterback and the only one they have.
You think if Joe Burrow gets hurt, the LSU can still run with it?
I don't think so.
Well, I would assume Miles Brennan is number two on the depth chart, right?
I mean, I think they have a better backup than Ohio State, but I still think if he gets hurt, they're done.
See, I don't feel like that. I think they have the guy from Kentucky that does have a couple starts under his belt, has some SEC games that he's played in. And I think that they would be all right, especially with their run game and their defense and their weapons on the outside. I think that they would be fine. And I don't even think he's the number two guy. I think it's some other graduate transfer guy.
Yeah.
So I really think that Ohio State would be fine if Fields went down, which I hope he doesn't.
I hope not.
But, you know, I have Jalen Hurts up there. I think he still deserves to be in this Heisman talk. A lot of people are going to get pissed, but I don't think Tua should be in the top five.
Not being hurt, missing this game. And if he doesn't get hurt, he's in my top three.
Even if he doesn't get hurt, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Russell Westbrook effect where – you know, Westbrook puts up a triple-double 1 year, and it's like, oh, well, this is the first time it's been done. The second time in history since Oscar Robertson did it. And then he does it the next 2 years, and he doesn't win MVP, whereas any other year, any other person would have. Because then you just become, well, he should do that. That's what we expect from him. And maybe that's it, you know. But I have J.K. Dobbins in there, and I also have Chase Young from Ohio State. I think he deserves to be up there. Maybe not ahead of Tua, but I think he deserves to be in the conversation as a defensive player.
I think he's ahead of Tua. I think he impacts the game so much from an offensive standpoint. When you're playing Ohio State, you have to game plan so much. You have to commit so much to stopping him that you can't run your entire offense. Because at any play, you have to chip him with the back, chip him with a tight end, all in one play, along with the left tackle having to block it. And you look up, and he's got two strip sacks, another two sacks, another couple tackles for loss, and 10 tackles on the game, and he's doubled almost every play.
Yeah, I mean, he's a baller. That is for sure. I would draft him number one overall.
Oh, no doubt I'm drafting him number one overall if I have that pick. And if the Dolphins have the first pick, it's Tua, 100%. And whoever has two is getting a gift in Chase Young, sort of like the Nick Bosa and Baker Mayfield situation. Nobody was sad about getting Nick Bosa at two.
No.
You think the 49ers are complaining? No.
Well,
they were thanking the good Lord that the Browns didn't take him.
What if the Bengals have the second pick, which is very likely? Nobody talks about it's the Dolphins, the Redskins. The Bengals are hot garbage trash, okay?
You gotta take him. I don't care. You gotta take him. He's the best player. He will be the best player in the draft, and you have to take him.
I think you take. Here's if I'm the Bengals and I'm Zach Taylor. This is what I'm trying to convince my general manager to do. If we have the first or second pick, say we have the first pick in the draft, we're taking Chase Young. No doubt about it. That is who we are taking.
Fans or butts.
You know, we'll ride out. I don't think Andy Dalton has a year left on his deal. I think he's a free agent after this year. Well, if you don't want to commit to him, don't commit to him. You know, go get you a journeyman like Case Keenum or Ryan Fitzpatrick or somebody, you know, like that. And you can say, look, we're going to ride it out. Well, the point I'm making is you can suck for another year, and then you can take Trevor Lawrence, number one overall, the next year.
Whoever you want to take.
Well, I feel like if you take a DM year one, you need definitely got to take a quarterback year two.
Why do you take Jake Fromm in the second or third round if he falls that far?
I don't think Jake Fromm will fall that far. It would depend on who is sitting there in the second or third rounds.
Yeah, because right now I think his stock is sort of falling. And it's not his fault, it's play calling's fault. He's going to make his money at the combine and his pro day.
If he declares, he may not declare.
It's possible.
I tell you who I honestly would like. If I'm say, I mean, let's just keep this. We're the Bengals. And we're sitting there in this round three. Okay. You moved on from Andy Dalton. You hadn't signed anybody. Ryan Finley is not your guy.
No.
I would take Shea Patterson in the third round.
I mean, you're going to say it.
Look. People can hate on this man all you want to, and I understand it, and I agree he does not win the big games. He does not show up when the lights are on. But that type of stuff, you can grow out of it.
Yeah.
You can become better. And I think he has too much arm talent to just go in the sixth round. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. We're talking about a top five arm talent in the country. And he's sitting in a shitty offense with Jim Harbaugh, which, I mean, that's what he chose to do. I understand it.
That's a bet he made. He has to lay in it.
Yes. But he can still spin it. And I'm just saying that if I'm sitting in the third round and I need a quarterback or a backup quarterback, I feel like that's a very good draft pick, especially if you're in the fifth round and he's still there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's a grade A steal, but you're getting a really good backup quarterback, a really good young rookie arm talent.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I'm just going to make one statement. How's the saying go? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
I've been fooled by Shea Patterson before. I will not buy back in and be fooled again.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that was a love of your life at one point.
I think if he's free and all that don't go down at Ole Miss, I think he's already in the league.
Yeah, I think he would have went already. He would have went last year because last year's quarterback. And also, if he doesn't leave Ole Miss and he stays in that system, he looks a lot better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. I think it's just circumstantial, whatever you want to call it. Jim Harbaugh was the first whore that hopped on the plane and came down here to get the sloppy seconds.
Yeah. That's where daddy said goes, so that's where he went.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. And then you come to find out that Big Brother was really the asshole all along, so. I mean, you did. You saw that, correct? The Instagram post his brother posted about blasting Jim Harbaugh.
No.
Well, you know, his brother's just a little shithead like him, I guess, and posted had an Instagram post just saying, you know, it's Jim Harbaugh's fault, and he's in this crappy offense, and he doesn't get to do anything, and yada yada, and kind of like, well, the apple don't fall far from the tree. There. Yeah.
You did it to yourself.
All right, well, you want to get into some picks already?
Yeah, let's go. I got to make up for last week.
Yeah, I did get you a number a little bit last week. I went 11-4. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Three of those games were toss-ups.
Could have went either way.
And I was really tired of picking Arizona and them, you know, just screwing me. And I was tired of picking Nebraska.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nebraska, first game.
I have no idea. I've been struggling with this all week because I knew we were going to pick it, and I have no idea where I'm going.
Nebraska at Purdue. Nebraska is a 3.5-point favorite. You're on the clock now, man. Where are you going?
Well, we know I like the home dog. It hadn't worked out for me this year, so I'm going to go with Nebraska.
Oh. I literally sat here and said, whatever he picks, I'm going to fade him. So I'm going Purdue on this one.
I mean, every time, I can't trust Purdue.
I can't trust Nebraska.
I can't trust either of them. So I'm just going to go with the road team. Change things up.
All right, next up, we got Buffalo at Eastern Michigan. Buffalo's a one-point favorite. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to shock you and go Eastern Michigan.
Oh, that is a shock. It really is. I'm going Eastern Michigan as well. They've been playing really good football to be a 4-4 team.
I like what they've been doing this year. Now that I say that, Buffalo will win in spite of me.
All right, next up, we got Boston College at Syracuse. Syracuse, a three-point favorite. Who you taking in this one?
I haven't watched Boston College that much, but I have seen Syracuse play. So, for that reason, I will go Boston College.
Oh, I'm going to go Syracuse, man, because I have seen Boston College play, and they are awful.
So is Syracuse, man. They can't score for anything.
You will not enjoy that game, so don't even tune to it.
No, it's not worth watching.
That's going to be a 3-2 game.
This is the pick-on game day where they're like, okay, get it in, let's go.
Troy at Coastal Carolina. Troy's a one-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
Coastal's at home?
Yes.
Home dog, Coastal.
Yeah, I'm going Coastal Carolina as well. You know, they won the College World Series a few years ago, so they can win this football game, I'm pretty sure.
They beat Arizona for that title.
They beat who?
Arizona.
I see you can't trust Arizona. Right there. All right,
That was a weird championship game. It got rained out. They played it like noon on a Monday. It was weird.
I just remember seeing the highlights of it. I don't even remember watching it.
It was weird. Hardly anybody was there. Anyways, back to the picks.
We got the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Georgia, Florida. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite. Who you got in this one?
Georgia's 6.5-point favorite?
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that line as well.
That's a little much. They win by a field goal. Dan Mullen can't win the big one.
Listen, I think you have two coaches right here that really struggle calling plays in big games.
They do.
It's probably going to be a shit show, you know, on 3rd-and-3 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But I'm going with Georgia for one reason and one reason only. Jake Fromm never has two bad games in a row.
That's why I'm taking them.
And you can say, well, the South Carolina game, look, he attempted 12 passes. It was a monsoon. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust throwing the football in general. I think this is going to be the bounce back game for him, and they're going to win, but maybe not win in favorable fashion.
Yeah.
All right, we got Miami at four. What'd you say?
I don't remember. Go ahead.
Miami at Florida State. Florida State's a 3-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
This is two dumpster fires of a team. Willie Taggart's still the head coach of Florida State, so I will not pick them. Miami.
All right, I'm going to fade you here, and I'm just going to go Florida State. I think this is just going to be a terrible game to watch.
I think Miami wins by 10.
What happened to Tate Martell? You ever find out what happened to him?
He's playing slot receiver. Last I saw.
Okay. I didn't know if he had died or transferred or quit football. I haven't seen or heard from this man ever, and they went to like the backup quarterback, and it wasn't Tate Martell.
And he won the game for him.
So I was just confused at the whole Manny Diaz situation there.
It's a weird situation.
It is. Next up, we got TCU at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is a 2.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
A wise man once said, I will not pick against the mullet because I'm American. I, too, am American, Pat McAfee, so I will pick the mullet and Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State's playing pretty good football. I think they'll get the win here at home, but only by a point.
TCU, bailed me out last week with my underdog pick. They did their service. Thank you. Now it's time for you to lose.
Next up, we got a pretty big game. Utah at Washington. Utah's a 3-point favorite in this one. Who you taking?
I really want to take Utah, but going to Washington is very tough to do and come out with a win. Oregon had to do all they had all in their power to win in Washington. But I think the Utes have hit their stride and they're for real. They want to win the South bad. So I'm
going to
go Utes.
I'm going to go UW on this one only because I think that they're realizing, look, we got to get a couple wins. You know what I mean? And this is going to be a big win for them if they get it. And you lost that heartbreaker last week with Oregon. I think this is the one where you win. And because the Pac-12 is so weird. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I usually would say the rain plays a big factor, but I mean, I think Utah's last two home games have been played monsoon, so I think they're ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just going to ride with Easton this week. So I'm going to see what they can do. I think that Utah's a very good football team. They have a very good quarterback and a very good defense. If this game was in Utah, absolutely, I'd go with the Utes. Next up, we got Florida Atlantic at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's a 1-point favorite. Who you got in this one?
Western Kentucky's a good team, man. I'm going to ride with them, you know, with the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with them just because, you know, my cousin met one of their players. And
I don't trust Lane Kiffin.
Well, that's fair. That's a fair thing to do. I mean, we're talking about a man who made Sebastian Janikowski attempt, you know, like a 71-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Mississippi State at Arkansas. Mississippi State's a 7.5-point favorite. Who you got in this one?
Mississippi State's a favorite?
Yeah, this would probably be it wouldn't be the last one.
I mean, I've seen Arkansas play. They don't have a quarterback. I've also seen Mississippi State lose to Tennessee. Tennessee don't have a quarterback. They got beat by Garantano. This is just a what dumpster fire do you want? Who's at home?
It's at Arkansas. It's in Fayetteville.
I'm going to go to State.
Ooh.
Look, for no reason.
I'm going to go with State, and the only reason I'm going with State it's because I have seen Arkansas play. And they're awful. They really are.
I've seen it with my own two eyes. They are bad.
They're
live.
They're the most undisciplined football team I think I've ever seen in my life.
They are terrible. They stink.
All right, next up, we got Oregon State at Arizona. Arizona's a 6-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm taking Arizona.
See, I can't trust them. I'm going to Oregon State.
I'm taking them at home. I think they get it done at home.
All right, we got the big one, the game of the weekend, Ole Miss at Auburn. Auburn's a 19.5-point favorite. Who you got in this one?
Cool. I may have been born at night. It wasn't last night. We're a running team. You hate running the ball on Auburn.
Auburn by 10. Little Bo Nix may not can play on the road. And, okay, he's a true freshman. You can say whatever you want to.
Rich Rod's still our offense coordinator. We ain't going to score nothing.
Matt Luke is still the head coach, so.
We ain't doing nothing.
Nah, I'm rolling with Auburn. And this is a pick I hope I lose.
I mean, I'd love to lose it, but I mean. I don't think I am.
If I went 14-1 and this is the one I lost, you know what? In my heart, I went 15-0.
I'm okay with that. I will not be upset at all. Do I see it happening? Not at all. The defense has to score 3 touchdowns for us to win.
Yeah, because, I mean, but Auburn's defense may score 3 touchdowns for them.
And then we're going to win 21-0. 20.
If it comes down to kicking woes, I think we'd be the team that had 20.
No, like, I don't think their defense will score 3 touchdowns. I think they'll score 1, and then their offense will score the rest.
Yeah, I mean, they're a pretty good team. I'm still high on them. I think that people don't give Malzahn enough credit, and I've said it once, and, you know, I keep saying it. But at some point, you should have let Bo Nix open up the offense.
Yeah. Well, there's no better time to do it than against Ole Miss secondary.
Nah, there wasn't a better time to do it than last weekend in Death Valley. You should have. I mean, what was the worst that's going to happen? You're going to lose the game? You lost anyway. You may as well just – I don't know, man. He plays way better at home than he does on the road. And I hope that that's not a sign for his entire career. You know, I hope that he grows out of that.
Well, only time will tell. Yeah. But Ole Miss has no shot in this game.
Nah. I spoke one too early. This is actually the game of the night. SMU at Memphis. Memphis is a 6-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
SMU.
Yeah, I'm riding with Bucell.
The Pony Express is back.
I think this will be a really good game, though.
When Sam Allinger said, "We're back," do you think he was talking about SMU?
Yeah, he was talking about Shane Buechele. That's what he meant.
I felt so, too.
I mean, Texas is back. It's just Baylor and SMU.
That's rough.
We got Virginia at North Carolina. North Carolina's a 2-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
Virginia beat the dog mess out of Duke. Duke should have beat North Carolina. Therefore, I have Virginia.
Ooh. So I'm going to ride with Matt Brown in this one. I am not a Matt Brown fan. I do not like Matt Brown.
Bill Longo is still their offensive coordinator.
But he has these guys believing, and I think that's something that you got to take into consideration. They're playing at home, so I'm going to go Tar Heels with this one.
Bold move, Cotton. See if it pays off.
Last game in college football, we got Oregon at USC. Oregon is a 4.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
This is tough for me. I really like Oregon and what they're doing. But I also really like what Graham Harrell's doing at USC with Slovis and that offense. I think Oregon out-athletes them in the fourth quarter and wins a close game.
Look, I told you the Pac-12 is a weird conference, okay? I don't know what sorcery goes on over there in the Pac-12.
That's the Pacific Ocean, man.
Oregon went on the road and they beat Washington. They did everything they had to do to win. I mean, Washington gave them everything they wanted. Now they're about to go into Southern Cal, and I really think that USC is going to beat these boys. Not bad, not a blowout. But they're going to come down the stretch, and USC is going to beat them by 3.
Bold. I mean, I see it happening. It's not far-fetched for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to come in here and beat them by 50. But
and it's possible that could happen. It is the Pac-12 land of the weird.
It is a very weird conference. And I love to follow it. A lot of people don't like to follow it, but I do.
No, I love it. It's so competitive, top to bottom. That's why it's so good, because every game you turn on, anybody can beat anybody. It's not like watching Alabama play Arkansas last weekend, where Alabama is scoring 41 points in the first half.
You know, or watching Auburn play Ole Miss this week.
You're actually going to see a quality football game, and just about, not all of them, but just about every Pac-12 game you watch will be competitive.
Yeah, do you know who your Air Raid Dog is this week?
I was really leaning towards taking Rutgers at whatever to cover against Illinois. And then I realized, I thought about it, and I realized I was picking Rutgers to do something good, which I can't bank on. So I'm going to say Ole Miss covers at Auburn.
Ooh.
They covered the last time I went with them. Let's see if they can do it again.
Yeah, I mean, 19.5, that's a lot of points. I'm going to take San Jose State plus 17 against Boise State. They're at home. I think Boise State will ultimately win this game, but I don't think it's going to be that high.
I see the possibility for an outright win there.
Yeah, I mean, Boise State's due a loss. All right, moving on to the NFL. First up, we got the Texans at the Jaguars. The Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm playing Gardner Minshew in fantasy this week, so he'll probably go off. I hope he doesn't. So I'm going to take the mustache to upset the Texans.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Texans here. I know J.J. Watt's out for the year. I hate it for him. But I think Deshaun Watson still gets it done. Next up, we got the battle of two garbage cans. The Jets at the Dolphins. Jets are a 3-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
The Dolphins and Fitzmagic get their first win of the season.
I absolutely agree with you. I think this is it, man.
This is the week. If they're going to do it, this is it.
Next up, we got the Colts at the Steelers. The Colts are a 1-point favorite. Who are you taking in this one?
The Colts.
Yeah, I like the Colts as well. Lions at the Raiders. The Raiders are a 2-point favorite in this one. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford and the Lions to get a win here. I don't know why, but I just think the Lions are going to win.
I had the same feeling, man. I thought the Lions, I feel like they've been playing well. They just hadn't been winning. And
they played too good. They outplayed their record.
Yeah. They're 3-3-1. I think they definitely should be 5-2.
Easily.
So I'm going to go with the Lions here. And lastly, we got your Browns at the Broncos. The Browns are a 4-point favorite. Who are you taking?
Oh, if they don't win this week, there's no hope. There's no hope. I'm not jumping off the train. I'm on it. I'm going to go down with the ship, and the Browns are going to beat the terrible Broncos this week without their quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I'm going to go Browns just because Joe Flacco's not playing. And, well, the Broncos are really kind of terrible as well.
They're bad.
I mean, I think the Browns have a legitimate chance to turn this thing around and go 9-7 and have a winning season.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts played as bad of a game as they could play last week, and the Broncos still couldn't get it done. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't pick them.
All right, so I got a couple questions I want to ask you so we can break down real quick. You've seen the tweet for the poll that Kyle Waltman put up. I really want to ask you your opinion on this, okay, man?
Okay.
Is it okay to use your girlfriend's toothbrush?
No.
In any world, is that okay?
No. You have separate toothbrushes. I'm not using anybody else's toothbrush. You stick it in your mouth in the morning when your breath smells like crap. I'm not using your toothbrush. I'm using my own toothbrush. That's like I was listening to Heartland Radio this week, and Todd said him and his girlfriend use the same towel when they get out of the shower. I'm like, no. Why would anybody use the same towel as another human being when they get out of the shower? Who does that?
Okay, well, apparently Kyle and his girlfriend do. Because
I will buy you a new toothbrush, man. I'll buy you another one. If you're that high on funds, I'll buy you a new toothbrush, man.
What sick bastard. He uses another human being's toothbrush.
Wow.
His response was, do you kiss your girlfriend? And I was like, cuzzy, that ain't the same thing. Not in the least bit.
No. And who thinks of this? Hey, I'm going to use your toothbrush. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. I'm never going to buy a toothbrush again. I'm just going to share this one. I mean, what is that?
I told him, I said, I think you're kissing wrong.
Who does that? Something's wrong. And no, I saw that on Twitter. I was like, who told him this? Where did he read this? And then you're, I don't know, man. I couldn't do it. I mean, more power to you if that's what you want to do. Me personally, I can't do it. Yeah. I just think that's too much.
Have you ever watched How I Met Your Mother? Like all the way through?
No.
Okay. There's an episode in How I Met Your Mother. This is a major spoiler alert to anybody watching. There's an episode in Marsha and Lily, who are the married couple in the show, and they lived with Ted for a very, very long time. Well, come to find out, they use the same toothbrush. Okay. And, you know, they're like, that's disgusting. And Ted was like, yeah, it's weird because you kept your toothbrush in your bedroom the whole time. And they were like, no, it was in the bathroom. What are you talking about? And he was like, no, Mom was in the bathroom. There was only one in there. And he was like, it was the purple one. And they were like, that was our toothbrush. And so Robin says, wait, for 7 years, you all three used the same toothbrush.
I couldn't do it. I can't do it.
Literally, when Cody moved in, I was like, dude, whatever you want of mine, you can have. Food, you want to use plates, you know, whatever. You know, what's mine is yours, for the most part. I don't care at all. I was like, the one thing that I do not want you to use is my toothbrush.
No, that's just one person's. That's his sole thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're cold, you need a jacket, and you ain't got a clean jacket, just go in my closet and get you one, man. It's fine. Yeah. Just don't use my toothbrush.
You ain't got a toothbrush, you're just going to have to make it through the day without one. Go buy a pack of gum or something.
All right, so Cody blew my mind a while ago. I wouldn't say blow my mind, but he asked kind of one of those questions, like, oh, is water wet?
Yeah, it's wet. It's water.
Do you drink? Or do you ketchup, or do you eat ketchup?
You eat ketchup.
Okay, that's what I said. But then Cody's like, well, you pour it out of the bottle.
You squeeze it out of the bottle.
He said the same thing with mustard. And he's like, well, you don't eat it. It's not a solid. It's a liquid.
Okay.
And I was like,
here's a question for Cody. Do you eat yogurt, or do you drink yogurt? Because it's sort of the same texture.
It is, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Do you eat it? So you're saying you eat yogurt?
Yes, you don't drink yogurt. You don't just stick a straw in there and drink it. Have you ever seen anybody drink yogurt from a straw? No, they get a spoon and they eat it. You know?
All right, Brady. Well, we got Cody on here now. All right. And so he's got... Cody, you said that you drink ketchup, correct? Ketchup, yes. Mustard, you drink it.
Yes.
All right. Brady has a counter argument for you, and I need your input. So, okay. Brady, hit him with it.
Okay. Do you eat yogurt, or do you drink yogurt?
You drink it.
I've never seen anybody pull out a straw and stick it in their cup of yogurt, drink the yogurt.
What moron puts a straw in yogurt?
I've seen people get a spoon and eat yogurt. And yogurt and ketchup is sort of the same texture, in my opinion.
But is yogurt a solid or a liquid?
Well,
not anything.
I feel like it's like a plasma state. It's like in between. Nobody ever talks about it.
You eat it. You don't just drink it.
I think you drink it.
You're telling me that you get a spoon and you just drink the yogurt.
Well, yeah, but
you
like... Like
you
most people drink
it. You don't slurp it up.
Yeah,
you
that's what I do.
Put it in your mouth and eat it.
I really wish we had a thing of yogurt in the fridge so I could see you eat the yogurt.
I would drink it out of the cup. Been dead serious. Like a milkshake.
Like a milkshake.
Yeah.
You would not get a spoon.
Probably not.
I'm baffled right now.
I
I don't understand.
I literally do not understand.
All right, well, listen, we need y'all to tweet us at Air Raid Sports, at Mr. Carney underscore 14, at B Walt underscore 8. Tell us if you drink ketchup, yogurt, mustard, or do you eat it like a normal human being? Thank y'all for listening. This has been another episode of the Air Raid Sports Podcast.